open up this service with prayer. I appreciate you all being here, but even with the dreary weather. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God, for we don't take it lightly, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we will worship and praise you for it. I pray now, Father, that you would bless the hearers of this word to be doers of this word. Bless and open this vessel up to be your vessel of God. My words be your words. My thoughts be your thought. Let nothing come from me that's not of you, Lord. Enemy of ours, I give you notice. I bind you. I rebuke you. I send you back to where you belong, which is not in this house. In the name of Jesus, you cannot return. Your will go forth, Lord Jesus, despite all that the enemy has planned. Father, we bind and rebuke it now in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are still traveling here. Give us safe journeys coming and going, and bless the remainder of the services, that everything be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So last week, I read from Proverbs 14, verse number 11, and we talked about being the tent or the tabernacle of God. And I want to finish out the rest of that verse, but we'll be also going to Psalms 92, if you want to put a marker over there. I just want to read this verse, talk a few minutes, and then head over to Psalms 92. But the verse was verse 11. It says, "The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle," and the New King James says, "the tent of the upright shall flourish." So last week we learned that we are the dwelling place of God. Through the Christ, through the cross, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us, which is God's Holy Spirit, and that we are the tabernacle or the tent. Now, the tents, you know, I grew up, you know, camping out. So we pulled up the tent and went somewhere else. You know, it traveled. It went with us. It was our shelter, our, protection from the environment, from the animals that were there or whatever it was. And, you know, so don't be so, caught up if you feel like you're just temporarily traveling through this world, because we are. We're just sojourning through this world to our home, which is with Jesus, with God. So today I want to talk about planted to flourish. If you wanted to give it a title, planted to flourish. Planted to flourish. Now, if you look at the Hebrew language of the upright in this verse, it means to be straight, to be right, to be conscientious, to desire to do what is right. To desire to do what is right. To be upright. Those are the people that choose God, but not only choose Him, but choose to be like Christ. Christ-like, the upright. We choose the straight. We choose the straight and narrow over the wide, as the Bible says, the wide road. We choose righteousness. We choose to be holy as I am holy, God said. We choose uprightness. And the promise is we shall flourish. And if you look up that word in the Hebrew language, it means to bud, to sprout, or to shoot. And all that talks about growth, flourish. Yes, I know you want me to sit up here and preach prosperity to you, and I'm not going to say it's not part of the promise, but the promise is to grow, to sprout, to shoot, and to bud. We have a promise of if we will allow this flourishing to happen. I'm going to talk about today what that means. To flourish means to spread abroad in different directions, over a wide area, to move freely about, even into foreign countries. It's to be abundantly, to have large quantities, to have plentiful. It is to blossom, which means to mature and produce. It is to break forth and break out, to bust out suddenly and to emerge. It is to bud. Bud is a growth that develops into something more. And the other meaning was to make fly or grow. It's very interesting when you look at Christians, and you should see a flourishing, a Christ-like person, a person that has accepted Christ as their Savior. But it's so much more than that. It is more than just accepting and being forgiven of your sins. It is everyday life walking and becoming Christ-like. That's scriptural, and we'll read about it. Now I want you to flip over to Psalms 92. That'd be the chapter, or the book above, Psalms 92. And when I researched that word flourish, it took me to this as well. And it talks about giving thanks to the Lord on the Sabbath day. David wrote this about it. And he talks about the enemies of the Lord. How that they look like grass. But he starts to, in verse 12, talks about the Christians, the people of God. Actually, it starts in 10, but we'll read verse 12. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord," and one, the New King James says, "the court of the Lord, shall flourish," "in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the courts of the Lord." There's where the courts of the Lord comes in. "Shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Well, I got the one part down. "To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Isn't that awesome? "Thou shalt flourish like the palm tree." And I was like, what's so great about the palm tree, Lord? You look at the palm tree can withstand hurricanes. Yes. If you have ever been to Florida or any of the Carolinas, any place where the hurricanes have come, you will see buildings and other trees and everything tossed. And there'll be palm trees standing upright amidst all that stuff, because they can withstand up to, I think it's 145 mile an hour winds. They're resilient. They're flexible. They're victorious. And as a child of God planted in the house and the courts of the Lord, we have that ability as well. Do you remember Paul in Philippians 14, 12 through 3? He says, "I have learned to be abased and abound." It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. Let me read that for you. He says, "I have learned that it's all going to be okay regardless." Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. And he's talking about praising God. He says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." That is to have little and have much. "Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I want to read that in a different version in the New Living Translation. It says, "I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulties." But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He learned real quick to be flexible as a child of God. Whether he's suffering, whether he's enduring a storm, a trial, a temptation, he has learned to rely on God's strength and through Christ and not his own. Palm tree, able to withstand the storms. Flexible, resilient. all those things. Ephesians 4, and I'm probably skipping ahead a little bit, but verse 14, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly together. So, in our faith, in our knowledge, if you go up above verse 13, it says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The flourishing. You have to endure. I mean, you know what? You're just, if you look at yourself as a Christian and you look at the seed of a plant and you put it in the ground, it's just this little seed. What's the first thing it's got to do? Is the outside's got to die in the dark, all alone, only being supplied by the heavens, the nutrients of what it's planted in, and the rain that it comes from the heavens. It's kind of the same way in the Christian life. But you know, Jesus went there first, didn't he? He died and he rose again. So we have that power within us if we will allow it to do. Why does the seed die? Because what's inside is trying to live and take root. And that's why it's so important where you're planted. Are you planted in the Word of God? Are you planted in a Bible-based church? Are you planted in listening to and having your thoughts, every day in the Word of God, in relationship with God? Are you talking to Him? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you? Because let me tell you, this dying part ain't no joke. Jesus said, deny self, pick up the cross, and follow me. It ain't for the weak. But you've got to learn that you are strong in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, through Christ, I can do all things. So the second thing, if you look in Psalms 92, was another reference that I thought was awesome that I want to talk to you about. And that is the cedar in Lebanon. Psalms 92. And he says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. And why was that so important? At that time, the cedars of Lebanon were some of the strongest, most richest wood they had around that time. It grew around the mountains of Lebanon. Actually, Solomon, when he went to build the temple of God, he sent for the cedars in Lebanon. And they served very couple different purposes. If you've ever seen cedar, it's beautiful. I mean, just the wood itself has a beautiful luster, a red, luscious look to it generally. And it has this odor that is, to me, it's beautiful. If you're walking in the forest and you come up on cedar, you will know real quick because you can smell it. You may not be able to identify it, but, you know, you probably would if you saw it. But it's very fragrant wood, and they think, and they say, according to my research, it's because of the oil that is within the wood. It works as a preservative to deter insect attack and decay. Baby, you're that strong. Ain't nothing can penetrate, and ain't no dying if you're a cedar tree. Isn't that wonderful? And you smell so beautiful. Do you remember going back to, you know, the temple where we talked about the oil that was within the temple? The oil, there was anointing oil. There was, the anointing oil was always represented to that somebody was separated for the purpose of God, and they were empowered, and the presence of God went with them. Every prophet, all the kings, they anointed them with oil. That's amazing, isn't it? Do you have that in you? Do you remember in the court, there was within the temple, the holy place, there was the lampstand that had the oil that burned continuously. There was the fire, which I represented as the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit living within you. There was the table of the showbread, and then there was the altar of incense and praise. All points back to Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. We smell good. But we're constantly praying and giving praise and honor to the Lord. This is one of the ways the Bible instructs us to enter His courts with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. It all works together, but we are planted to flourish. You have all that is necessary to do what you need. A couple of things come to mind when I read about this. I thought about Matthew 25. We're not going to read the story, but it talks about the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. They had their oil. And when the bridegroom came, the 5 that didn't have enough oil begged the 5 to give them of their oil. And they said, no, we have just enough for us. We're going to go out and meet the bridegroom. A lot of people want to make that representation of the Holy Spirit in people's, in your lives. But it's important to have plenty of oil. Cedar, you cedar trees. 1 John 2:6 in the ESV says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked, referring to Jesus. 1 John 2:6, that was the ESV version. So when you are planted, when you ask for forgiveness and you confess Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, your sins were forgiven and you were planted in His court. Court has two meanings. Court has meaning of open place. The court was usually the inside of a place that was like a home or a dwelling, but it was protected except for the opening straight above it so that the plants and the trees could grow straight up. You see that a lot in the Mideast. And, of course, in Florida, they have courts where the palm trees go straight up. In the courts, in the soil of the Most High, the Creator. This is why it's no surprise that you can become Christ-like despite who you were. Paul said, I die daily. It's that outside dying, that what I was is dying because what is birth within me? Oh, behold, all things are new. He says, you are a new creation. It's coming to life. It is trying to survive and take root in the soil of being planted in His courts, if you'll allow that analogy, and flourish. Takes a little work on our part, though, doesn't it? We've got to study the Word and keep our soil fertilized with God's Word so that our thinking and our behaving, we walk and talk like the one that we are drawing our substance from. It don't take long to meet somebody and know where they come from, the world or from the eternal things. Don't take long, does it? Sometimes you can walk up on somebody and see it in the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they joke, the way they behave. It don't take long to see where they're drawing their nutrition from. The other thing was 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want to read this verse to you. You don't have to turn there if you want to write it down. And I want to. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to start at verse 16. It says, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, capitalized Holy Spirit. And wherever the Spirit, capitalized Holy Spirit, of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Where are you drawing your nutrition from? The other thing is that the court represented in the oath system, in the Old Testament, represented the temple of God. That's what that reference is, the temple of God within his court. But if you look at it in the New Testament, court is usually referred to as a legalistic court. So maybe either way you look at it, when you walk into the court of God, his courts covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can go boldly before that throne. You can go boldly. Even if you've fallen and made a mistake, you can go back into that court and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. You know, I'm claiming the blood of Jesus Christ on it to cover my sin. Help me, Lord, to not walk in this ever again. And he'll say, here's your pardon. Jesus is sitting over there, as our brother said a couple of weeks ago, and he says, I've got blood on it. I've got something on it. Here's the scars. I've got proof that this one is mine. I'm covered. Peter, 2 Peter, so you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, you know, how can I do all this? How can I do this dying to self? And how is that even possible? Because I have been 20, 30, 40 some years doing the things that I've always done and I've always been. But 2 Peter 1:3 tells you something otherwise. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. No two ways about it. You have everything you need. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his miraculous, marvelous glory and excellence. Coming to know him, that's your part. I accept you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. Forgive me of my sins by faith. By faith. Now, we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight, right? Oh, palm tree, the storm's coming. The hurricane's coming in. Some of them's got my name on it. Hurricane Sonia, here she comes. Some of my decisions, consequences of my decisions, here they come. But I'm planted to flourish in the court of God. I'm going to draw my nutrition from the word. I'm going to draw my nutrition from a relationship with God, knowledge of him. How can I know him if I don't spend time with him? I love my husband, but our relationship ain't much if we don't live together. If we don't talk. We can live together and not even talk or be around each other if your house is big enough. There's some days I like that. Some days I'm like, yeah, you go in there and watch that TV. I'm going to be right here. I need a little time. But I need that relationship. I have it because we talk. We share things together. We eat together. We commune together. We do good things together, and we live through the bad things together. That's relationship. That's what builds strong marriage. It's not throwing your hands up and running away at the first sight of trouble. I can tell you, and I've told you before, I remember the day and where I was when I realized as a 19-year-old girl that had married that man of mine, the man that God gave me, and I remember standing there thinking, I am going to have to work at this relationship. It's just not going to be what it was when we first, you know, become a husband and wife. It was about a year into it. I remember where I was standing in our home thinking that thought. So I had a choice at that time. Is it worth working on? Or am I forever not going to have what God has given me? And of course, I chose to work and stay. He still got the raw end of the deal, though. He's a saint. When y'all go out, shake his hand. He's a saint. Because I was a hellion, let me just tell you. Don't matter what your background is, you can be a hot mess. So you have everything that you can need, everything that you will ever need, according to 2 Peter 1:3. So let's go to James 1, and James chapter 1, and I want to read this to you. I forget what version I wanted that in, but let me look. James chapter 1. Oh, Lord, help me. Hebrews. I think I wanted the New Living Translation or NIV, but it's verse 21 and 25. And this whole thing, I mean, you know, it's talking about faith and endurance. It's talking about listening and doing. This is where we're at. Listening and doing. Now, well, as you're reading the word, you just can't read it. You have to study it, and then you have to apply it to your life. And it says, let's start at 19. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. It's been planted. You're planted. The word's been planted in you. The Holy Spirit's living within you. Now, what are you going to do with it? In verse 22, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Flourishing. That is flourishing. Hearing, applying, doing. Flourishing. 1 Timothy 2 and 4 says that we come to the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says he doesn't want anyone to perish. But Ephesians 4 says that we are to walk according to what we have been called to do. Ephesians 4. Walk in the manner of God. I think it's verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, verse 22, it says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupt by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Walk. Walk in what God has called you to do. Ephesians 5, 15 and 17, the very next chapter over. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. Be careful what the Lord wants you to do. And then it goes on to talk about don't be drunk. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to flourish? You are planted to flourish. It's a promise. You have a part to do, though. It's your decision. He's not going to force you. He's not going to tie you up and drag you down. The Holy Spirit's going to simply remind you and show you. Get in the Word. Know the Word. This is how you grow and mature. It's so great with the plant. If you look at it, once the shell dies and it takes root, and then it starts shooting up out of the ground. And then once it shoots up, it sprouts. It's called sprouting. It's sprouting up out of the darkness, and you're starting to see things change. It's so great. I grew up as a farmer as well, and I used to love to watch the process. I hated the harvesting. hated the harvesting, but I used to love to watch the seed go in the ground, and within months, with careful fertilizing, with watering, with all the care that we gave it, and then I would see this little bitty sprout come above the ground, and then it would just shoot up. And then before long, I would notice these little buds coming on it, and those buds produced branches and leaves and flowers or whatever we were growing. It was starting to produce, and then before long I would see the corn coming and the tomatoes growing and whatever plant we were doing. But it's the same thing in your spiritual life. You are planted to flourish. You have all that you need to do it. Go back to Proverbs 14. I want you to read this one thing. And I love this one. When I read it, I thought it was hilarious. But it's so fitting to our spiritual lives and in life in general. Proverbs 14. Let me find it. Verse 4. He says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. I love a clean house. It ain't a lived-in house, though, when it's that clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. That's okay. You're going to have to dig a little dirt. You're going to have to clean that stall. But that ox is going to help you produce a harvest. He's going to help you bring it in. So the crib is clean. I thought that was hilarious in the Bible. The crib is clean. We may preach about that next week, but I thought that was good. You have to work to have increase. You're planted to flourish. He's not going to put you in a situation that you can't find your way out of. He's not going to plant you somewhere where you're not going to grow. He's provided everything you need to do it. You simply have to apply it. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the word today. Thank you for your encouragement, Lord. That yes, sometimes it looks like the impossible, but in Christ all things are possible. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Give us your wisdom and understanding. Let the Holy Spirit reveal your words to us every day that we hear them. The Bible promises that it won't come back void. And we cling to that promise. We cling to that promise, Lord. And we thank you for it. Make us the men and women of God. Help us to become the men and women of God that we are called to be. For your part is done. You have provided for us. Help us, Lord, now to walk in that wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.